Today we're going to continue in our series, Who is the Father? And as we do that, I encourage you not to move so fast that we forget where we've been over the last two series, that we're remembering who is the Holy Spirit. And my heart's prayer today as you are getting up saying, good morning, Holy Spirit, getting up to every morning and making the Holy Spirit a part of your life, asking for the all power in your life, asking for all knowledge, asking that he would operate to the fullest in your life, that you would receive the spiritual gifts that he's wanting to give to you, as you're praying for your spiritual prayer language, that God would give that to you, and you're praying in that spiritual prayer language, encouraging yourself before the Lord, that you are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. We're walking in the fullness of the Son, who the Son is in our life, realizing that our Savior is a Savior that we can relate to because he's walked in our shoes. He understands the pain we go through. He understands the problems that we face. There's nothing that we face in our life that he does not have an understanding, and he is moved with compassion in our life. We started the series, The Father is Good. We talked about how the Father is good, and we talked about the very goodness. That's the very basic thing about the God that we should know, is the foundation that we build off of, is knowing that everything comes out of God's goodness. Because he is good, everything else flows out of that. That God is good. When Moses asked, God, show me what you're famous for. That's what he said. Translate, God, show me your glory. Show me what you're really known for. It says when God passed by Moses, that he showed him what he unveiled, his kindness to him, his goodness to him. That the Lord is full of goodness. God is full of goodness. That reflection, nature says that it was good. He said he created the heavens and the earth, and it was what? It was good. Not just good. It was good. And I mean, it's a difference between our good and God's good. When God says it was good, how many know it was good? And God says it was good because it reflects who he is. His nature reflects who God is. And God is good. That is it. And Satan is the one that comes to you and I, and he starts things up in our life. He'll stir things up, that either the mistake that you and I make, or he'll take the thing that he creates and causes a distraction. Then he has to get you and I as Christians and or as non-Christians, and he points to that. Oh, if God was good, then why did he allow this to happen? God didn't make that happen. We made that happen. By our own sinful nature, we had things happen in our life. And so Satan comes and tries to deceive us and get us to look at these things. If God was really good, why did this happen? So we don't fall into that trap. We know that God is at the very core of who he is. He is fully good. We talked about last week how the Father is omni, that he is omni, that he is all present, everywhere. He is all-knowing. He has all knowledge. And he has all power. All powerful. All power belongs to him. Today, I want to talk to you shortly today about the Father is just and merciful. The Father is just and merciful. Today, I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but I got some very, I think, some good illustrations and things today that are going to show you that the very nature of God, that we're talking about the attributes of God. Okay, this is what we're talking about. We're looking at the attributes of God. His attributes is justice. He's just and merciful. Let me give you some definitions before we work any further in this message. First of all, justice. Justice is giving you and I what you deserve. So justice is we're getting what we deserve. We get what we deserve. That's justice. That's being fair. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. Now, we're not going to talk about grace today, but I want to give you the definition so you can collate it and see what we're talking about. Look at the definition of grace. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Look at the difference there, okay? Justice is getting what we deserve. That the punishment, that the fair punishment, being treated fair, whatever we have committed, that we have a justice to pay. That justice says that society, that justice says that there is a law to abide, and if not, you're going to receive justice. If you've been cheated, you're going to receive justice, hopefully. If you've been convicted of a crime, justice is going to say this is what the punishment is. So we look at justice as giving what we deserve. Mercy is not giving what you deserve. Sometimes we, even though we need justice, we receive mercy. Because even though we deserve one thing, we were merciful and gave another. How many know what we're talking about? When your kids do something and you know it, you're ready just to wring their neck and you're inside, you're blowing up and you're upset. And right before you get onto them, you have a flashback to when you was a kid a time that you did something that was pretty, you know, pretty ornery, or you broke something that you was an accident. You should have been doing something. And so all of a sudden you calm down a little bit. Remember what it was to be 7 years old again? Remember those days? And instead of really giving them justice, you give them mercy because you cut them a little slack. You know what I'm talking about. It's mercy, not giving what you deserve. And we're not going to talk about grace today, but I want you to see it. We'll talk about grace later on. But grace is giving you what you don't deserve. See the correlation here. Today we're going to spend time talking about justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. So this is the question. How can God be both just and merciful? You ever thought about that? How can God be just and merciful at the same time? That he brings the punishment, also he has mercy at the same time. And they're both a part of who he is. Look what Psalms 89:14 says. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. We see justice and mercy. This is a part of who he is. Psalms 101 and 1. I will sing of the mercy and justice. Well, isn't that an oxymoron? Think about that. How do you sing of the mercy and justice at the same time? I'm going to sing of my punishment and I'm going to sing of your mercy at the same time. I mean, this is really, you know, really an oxymoron statement when you think about it, how clashing this really is. But this is who our God is. This is the fullness of the attributes of our God, that he is full of mercy and he is full of justice at the same time. We see this happening here. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have what? Mercy on you. For the Lord is a good God of what? Justice. He's a God of mercy, but he's also what? A God of what? Justice. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Look what Hosea 2:19 says. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in what? Justice, in loving kindness and in mercy. The word betroth there, what it's talking about is marriage. That he says, I will make a marriage covenant with you and I, and this is the basis of our marriage. This is what God said. This is the very basics of our marriage. That when we have a covenant with the Lord, a marriage contract with the Lord, he says it's built on this foundation right here, in righteousness and in what? Justice, in loving kindness and in mercy. These are the basis of our contract, our marriage covenant with the Lord. He says, this is how I'm going to enter into my marriage contract with you and I. It's full of justice and it's full of mercy. Both are presently there. So let's talk about these statements real quickly. The Father is number one. The Father is completely just. The Father is completely just. Let me say this to you. God doesn't have parts. And this is hard for us to understand because we have parts, don't we? We think of us. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. We're made up of mind, will, and emotions. I mean, we have parts. And guys are really good at having parts. We compartmentalize everything. We have our job file. We have our marriage file. We have our father file. We have our sports file. We have our coach file. We have our friends file. And we can file everything away in categories and be differently in all these things. Now, ladies, you're not very good at this. Everything kind of intertwines in what you do. You don't have a lot of compartment because everything, it all runs together. It all just runs together. One thing affects the other, and you're emotional about this, and this emotions affect this department. And so ladies are not really, guys, we're really good at departmentalizing everything and put it there. Ladies, it doesn't happen. That's why a man and wife can have a fight or argument and have this big tiff, and then 10 minutes later, the man wants to cuddle. And she's like, don't even come close to me tonight. Not that that's ever happened to me, but I've heard that's what happens, okay? Because guys, we can follow the way. All right, that happened 10 minutes ago. What do you mean you don't want to cuddle? What happened 10 minutes ago? She's like, it all runs together, you know? It just happens. And this is the way we are as human beings. We have a hard time comprehending that God doesn't have compartments. God's not partially anything. He is wholly everything. Think about it. He is holy everything. He is not partly anything. He is a holy God. He is holy, fully, completely just. He is fully just. Sometimes we think in our mind, we think God has just enough mercy to overcome his justice. That's kind of what we think about. God's got mercy on one side, he's got justice on the other, and he's got just enough mercy to overweigh his justice. That's kind of the way we, that's how we kind of figure it out in our mind. Yeah, he's got all this justice, but he also has got all this mercy. And there's just enough more of mercy than there is of justice to tip the scales. And so therefore, we're okay. That's not how it works. No, God is fully, 100% about justice. He's not partially justice. He is fully justice. And he knows what it means to bring justice. Look what Ezekiel 18:25-29 says. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, it is not my way which is fair. This is God talking. It is not my way which is fair, and your way which is not fair. When the righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he committed, and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are not fair, and are your ways which are not fair? Think about it. God's saying, Israel was saying, you know, God, you're just not fair. There's some people, they did all these bad things, yet they're going to go to heaven. And you've forgiven them. And they deserve worse things than because they've done some big mistakes in their life. But because you've forgiven them, it's not fair, God. It's not fair. Because there's other people, we haven't done anything wrong hardly at all. We haven't done as near as bad as these people over here. That side over there, they're really bad. But this side over here, we're okay. We haven't done near, we've done a few mistakes, but they've done a lot worse things than we have. But you're saying they get the same reward we do over here? That's not fair, God. That's what they were saying. God, it's not fair. It translates, God, it is not equal. What they were saying, God, your justice is not equal. And God's like, no, it's you who've got it turned around. I'm equal. I'm giving fair justice to everyone. And he goes, because you don't understand my justice and you don't understand my mercy. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on how you think good you are. It's based on my mercy and it's based on my justice. This Hebrew word is talking about not fair. It translates out to morally equal. That's what they were saying. God, you are not morally equal with these people as you are over there because they do things that are worse than us, and yet you're saying they're going to get the same reward as us? And God's like, yeah. If they've asked me to forgive them, I'm going to forgive them. No matter how bad they've been, no matter what they've done, if they've asked me to forgive them, I'm going to forgive them. That's what God was saying. And we have a hard time understanding this. And think about, one of the first things you see is represented all around the world when it comes to a court of law. What do you see there? The scale of what? The scale of justice. And you ever think about that as a lady holding the scale of justice that represents justice? And think about that, the scale of justice. Many times we think it's, you know, the prosecutor versus the defendant, and whoever has, you know, the better case kind of weighs it one side or the other. But that's not actually what happens. What actually in definition of the justice system is they put both on one side. The prosecutors and the defendants both argue it out, present their case, and then what rises to the surface as things that are cement, as evidence, the evidence is weighed against the justice that is deserved for that crime. So if we have murder, then we see, all right, this murder deserves whatever. It's going to happen, the criminal punishment for this murder. And then we have over here, did we have enough evidence after all this trial? Is there enough evidence to say that it deserves the punishment that goes along with murder? See? And that's how the justice system actually works. It's not this side versus this side. It's how much evidence is actually created at the end, left over, that weighs against the punishment that goes there. And does it weigh the merit? If it doesn't, then the justice is, you know, we can't really prove it, but we think there's a little bit there, so we'll move it back to third degree manslaughter, you know, because they move it around because justice has got to be equal to what's there. Now, we have a hard time understanding this, and this is the way God is in our life. Let me get some guys to help me here this morning. Come here, Ian, a second. Give me a big guy here. Just seen this guy moving his chairs around last night, man. He was slinging them things around, so we're going to get this big guy up here. You get to be God today. Come here. Stand right here. Let's say this is a scale. I'm here, and God is right here. And how many know that God is a lot bigger than I am? How many know that God technically, not us an example, but technically, God weighs a lot more than I weigh. I mean, God in his existence is 800 trillion tons. I mean, we can't measure the bigness of God. And we can't measure the fullness of his justice. That when God steps on the scale, go down to the bottom if you would. When God steps on the scale, I go, phew. I mean, I can't measure up to the justice of God. I'm up here trying my hardest. God, I'll be good. And God, I'll do this. And God, I'll do that. And everything I do, I'm trying to shake the scale of justice, and it doesn't happen. No matter how good I am, think about it. No matter how good I am, or how good I think I am, or how many good things I do, I'm never going to tip the scale when it comes to God's justice. I mean, think, this is the God of the universe. His justice is so big that no matter what I do on my own, I can never tip the scale. We'll fail. We'll live our lives trying to do this, and we'll never get there. We'll never budget. I'm just saying, we will never on your own budge the scale. But what happens? What happens? Come here, Mike, a second. What happens is this. It's that one day when I realized that I was through playing games in my life and I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I really seen my sin for what it was and how much it displeased God and how lost I was without God. And when I gave him fully my heart and said, God, I'm going to live for you every day. No longer just going to church and acting like I'm a Christian. No longer going from one event to another. But God, I'm going to live for you every day of my life. And I asked Jesus, remember, I can be Jesus. And Jesus gets on the scale with me. The other part of God. And all of a sudden, step up. Take one more step up. The scale balances out because Jesus is standing on my side. Jesus is standing on my side and he makes the scales even again. That's the justice of our God. That's our justice. He is fully just. Don't ever think that our God is not fully just. He is fully just. But it's because Jesus steps on the scale with us that we are balanced out and I can have equal justice with him, that I can walk and say, all right, this is even. This is not out. I don't have to get the justice. I can walk in the mercy of God. Thanks, guys. When we realize this, yeah, it's good. Give him a hand. It's the scales of equality. Things even out when God gets on our side. Don't ever think it's anything on your own. Don't ever think that these scales will even out on your own. They never will even out. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. But there's nothing we could ever do to make it fair. The only person who has the weight to even out that scale of justice is Jesus, God's Son, who is what? He's fully God. He's fully God and fully man. Boy. And when he steps on the scale with me, he evens it out. Wow. And the second thing we talk about is the Father is completely merciful. We've seen this mercy happening. He's not partial mercy. He is full mercy. His mercy has no beginning and no ending because God has no beginning and no ending. He always was and always shall be. And so because he always was and shall be, his mercies always was and always shall be. His mercies have no ending. I tell you what. That should get you excited right there. That should get you excited right there, thinking about that statement, that God's mercies have no ending. God's mercies have no ending, that you and I, that we don't run out of God's mercy. You know, as parents, we have, our mercy can run out. I talked about showing mercy, but, you know, it happens again the next day. Our mercy gets a little shorter and shorter, doesn't it? But God's mercy is not short in our life. His mercies are never ending. His mercies has no limits. They never increase or decrease, because if they could increase or decrease, then they could change, and God can't change. Think about that. His mercy has no limits. They can never increase or decrease. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look what Psalms 136, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's say it together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for what? He is good. And what? For his mercies. Now, we can say it louder than that. Come on, you got to say this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods for his mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords for his mercy. We can keep going. 20-something verses right here on the same verse. If you ever want to memorize a psalm, you've already got half of it memorized. Just remember that part. For his mercies endure forever. It goes on, and after every verse, it says, God's mercies endure when? Forever. His mercies have no limits. His mercy endures forever. There's many definitions of mercy, and they are not always accurate. Some are definitions of mercy that mean to have compassion. To have compassion. But what it's talking about here, this mercy, is not talking about to have compassion. It's talking about being a compassionate person. There's a difference between being a person who has compassion and being a compassionate person. How many know the difference? You know what I'm talking about? A compassionate person operates in that compassion. Now, I may have compassion over somebody, but I may not show it to them. In my heart, I mean, I think I have compassion for them, but I don't really show it. No, a compassionate person goes out of his way to show the compassion. And this is how it translates here in this verse, that God, compassion, he's a compassionate God, that he is active in his compassion to you and I. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures how long? Forever. His mercy endures how long? Forever. His mercy endures how long? His mercy endures forever. God is fully just, but you know the good news is also, he's fully merciful. And it brings a mercy to my life, and because of that, I receive things I don't deserve. Let me give you an example here. The story I read. After World War I, some of your history buffs will remember this, after World War I, in Europe, the United States helped support a lot of orphans that were there because of the war. There was a lot of orphans there, and so we supported a lot of orphans and orphanages. And the United States put away a lot of money, a lot of our taxpayers' money, we went to help support the orphans from World War I. And one of the directors of these orphanages was telling a story about how a dad walked in one day. And this dad walked in, and he had his little girl with him, and he was holding her hand very tightly. And they walked in. He said they were skin and bones. You could see the ribs on them. Their clothes were just ragged. And you could tell they were very malnourished. And the father come in and said, I can't find work because of the war. My wife's dead. It's just me and my little daughter here. I can't support her. He goes, can you please take her in? Can you please take her in so she can have a better life? She can at least be fed. I know she'll at least be fed here. And as the director looked at the father, he said, I'm so sorry. I know that I can tell that your daughter really needs the nourishment. He says, but we have, by law, because we cannot take any orphan in if one of the parents are still living. And the man said, what? He said, by law, he said, we cannot take, he goes, but she'll die if she doesn't get the food she needs. He said, but law, by law, we can't take her in if one of the parents are still living and you're still alive. And so he was very quiet. He could see his face really meditating. Pretty soon he took his daughter's hand and he walked over to the director and he took his hand and he put the daughter's hand in the director's hand and he squeezed them together. He said, sir, he goes, I will arrange it. And that man went out and hung himself so his daughter could live. Tragedy as that story sounds, that's the way the Father does to you and I because of his mercy. That the justice says that, you know what? We can't receive the mercy we need. But the Son spoke up and said, you know what, Dad? I'm going to go down and I'm going to take the hand of them. Consider it done. And the Son walked and left heaven. And came to earth and died on the cross and gave his life because he knew that's how you and I would escape the justice that we so deserve. And he gave his life to you and I. And he takes our hand and he puts it back in the Father's. And he says, consider it done. Consider it done. And all through Scripture, we see where this happens so many times, even in Jesus' life. Where there's the woman at the well that he came in contact with. He says, man, you've been married so many times, I can't hardly count. And the man you're living with now is not even your husband. But instead of giving her justice, he gave her mercy. Think about Zacchaeus, the most hated mafia leader of his day. Stealing from everybody. Stealing from everybody, taking away. Jesus didn't give Zacchaeus what he deserved. He gave him what he needed. Our God was a God who brings mercy. Think about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross hanging next to Jesus. Jesus didn't give him what he deserved. He said, today you will be with me in paradise because your confession of me. You're not going to receive the justice that you think you're getting, but you're going to receive the mercy because you just confessed me as Lord. Our God is full of justice. Don't ever think he's not. He is a just God, but he's also fully merciful. And that's the relationship you and I can have with him when we walk in his justice and his mercy. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with every head just bowed this morning, the eyes are closed as we're meditating what God is speaking to our hearts this morning. I want to ask you this question. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, in my heart, I don't deserve God's mercy. In my heart, I feel like I don't deserve God's mercy. So therefore, I've been waiting to maybe change my life before I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I've been waiting to try to be a better person. But today, as you're talking, I realize I can never be good enough on my own. I can never do enough good things to make things right. The only way I'll ever tip the scale is when I allow Jesus to come into my life and to walk with me. And he brings equality with God. He brings back the equality of justice that I so need in my life. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm ready. I don't want to leave here today without making sure that I am right with God. If I died, I would know I'm going to heaven. Today, if that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to make sure today I'm ready to accept God's mercy in my life. No one's looking but me, and I will not embarrass you in any way, but can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to make that decision today. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, that's me. I want to make that decision. Lift your hand up where it's at, where I can see it. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two today? Raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready to make this decision. Thank you. Anybody else? Today, as we get ready to close out, let's say this prayer together. I'm going to ask that we all pray this prayer together, especially those who raise your hands. Let's say this prayer from your heart. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you meant it. We say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Give them a hand clap. Yeah, we're just so excited. Man. Let's stand to your feet this morning. If you prayed that prayer today, we have a special packet in the back. It's got a Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next, where to go from here. And so it's just a free gift to you. We want to give to you. Make sure you pick one of those up in the very back. We have those available for you today as you leave. How many today say, Pastor, I want to walk in a deeper mercy of God. I want to learn to see myself the way God sees me. Anybody here today say, I want to learn to walk in the mercy of God. Isn't that, it changes who we are, doesn't it? It changes who we are, that we're over here trying to always tip the scale on our own. And we realize it's not us. It's Jesus. Our relationship with him is the one that tips our scale of justice. It's our relationship, our fellowship with him, our confession of our sins to him, that he brings equality to the justice that we deserve. Wow, that's a powerful statement this morning. I hope that you walk out of here free today, knowing this is the price that our Savior paid, that he put our hand with our God and said, consider it done. Consider it done. I'll do what it takes to give my life so that we could live. What a love he has for us, man. What a love our Father has for us. What a love the Son has for us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are such a loving God. We thank you, God, that you are such a God of mercy and justice. The God that so often we deserve such a greater punishment in our mind. We deserve such a harsher punishment in our mind. But God, it's the mercy of your Son that brings the equality of the justice. And today, help us to walk free in that. God, I pray for those who have been struggling with guilt in their mind, thinking, I'm just not good enough, or I can never please God, or I can never just do enough things in my mind. We will quit struggling with trying to do things in our flesh and let our faith be in action, knowing it's our faith in Jesus Christ It's my confession as Him as Lord of my life. Confession of my sin to Him that He forgives and He steps on the scale with me. That's the only way. And when I do that, I can walk without guilt in my life from my past. My past has no place in my life. I can walk free from my past because of what Jesus has done for me. That Jesus has walked me over to the Father. And He's placed my hand in the Father's hand and says, consider it done. And Father, we thank You for the mercy and justice that You give us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Shake some hands, hug a neck before you leave. Remember tonight, find a home group. Get involved. I really, really encourage you. Find a group. Get involved in a home group tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.